flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that ass again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They're cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Ah, let's do this. Let's go. Grandy is in for Dibs. 888-957-9570. That was abrupt. There we go. I was going to say, I wasn't done with that yet. I wasn't done with that yet.
What happened?
The show's just starting. I'm like, is it over? Nothing is over until we say it is. 888-957-9570. You threw out a banger.
Did I?
You did. You threw out a banger earlier today. And it is. It's one of those questions that stops you in your tracks for a second. It makes you think, I love stuff like that. I love that. Say something or ask something where you're like, hold on, okay, let me actually think about this, and let me see if I can come up with what I hope is an intelligent answer. And so before we answer it, we'll ask it, and we'll throw it out to you. And y'all can take a moment, because we're on the air till 6.
We got time here.
We got time, but we, as always, would love to hear from you, interact with you. Whether that's YouTube, whether that's text, whether it's Twitter, or whether it's at 888-957-9570. Here it is. Y'all ready for it? What do the Warriors do well?
They need something to fill the time there. I asked you that question. I did not have an answer in mind when I asked it. I think that's probably how most Warrior fans feel when they hear the question for the first time. I eventually came around to the answer of, well, they're a pretty good rebounding team.
Okay.
they rebound the ball pretty well.
Well,
top five in rebounds per game.
I threw out an answer that I think you thought was a joke, and it's partially a joke, but unfortunately for Warrior basketball, it's where my head went. You asked me, what are they good at? And I essentially said branding. The Warriors are really, really good at getting talked about. Once again, over my shoulder, as we did the crossover, there's Kendrick Perkins talking about, is it going to be a disservice if they don't do a deal for Steph?
More than a disservice, injustice.
The Warriors are the most talked about 11 seed in the history of the Western Conference. So, in other words, what the Warriors are really good at right now is being relevant while they are in a state of total irrelevancy. And that's a hard, hard fact to swallow. But that's the real. That's the real. The Warriors are really good at being the Warriors. They're a big brand. Everyone is talking about them. Everyone wants to know their big game hunt. And, Grandy, this has been going on every debate show in America for the better part of 6 months, if not longer. And so,
wait, this is going on last year, too.
Absolutely. So we talk about this team, and I get it. I get it. They are the Warriors. They are. They're great at branding. They've branded themselves, and this is that story of an all-time great on his way down, and can he hang on? Like, it's a super relatable thing that every human being on some level goes through, right, when the mind still can do it and the body doesn't, and all those things that we all experience. That's what they're good at. And unfortunately, that does not win any basketball games at all.
It might actually hurt you more than anything.
Well,
all the talk out there.
Where this conversation then went is take last night's roster and say, what are they really good at? And here's the painful answer. What are they good at? Playing without Steph. On an individual basis. I don't mean that they're a better team without Steph. Lucas,
yeah, clip it.
Put Twitter clip down. Put Twitter down. I don't want to respond to those at 3 in the morning. This guy Willard. Yeah, okay. They're not better without Steph. That's stupid. We're not doing that. But on an individual basis, I do think they take their handcuffs off and they leave them in the locker room because they all are like, oh, we're all out here on equal footing now, able to maybe try to do the things that we do well. And what that means is, by the way, still not a great basketball team. Struggled to get off the Utah Jazz without any of their players.
1-point game with what, like 5 minutes left?
Yeah, and the Warriors didn't have their three best players, but or three of their best players. But still, they just look like they play differently. They look like they're more free. They're not thinking as much. And they're able to play in a style that maybe fits them as opposed to all the deference that they show Steph Curry for understandable reasons.
Yeah, I think one of the easiest ways for me to visualize this and to make sense of it, because you're right, it does sound kind of crazy. The Warriors play better individually when Steph isn't on the floor. Like, one of the credits that we give Steph, and he deserves every single ounce of this credit, is he makes all of his teammates better. He makes it so much easier on all of his teammates. And that has been true for basically since he put his name on the map, like 2013, when he first was an all-star. Like, he has been amazing, and he makes everything easier for everybody else. I think there's a certain skill that his teammates need to have in order to capitalize on that, and this group might not have a lot of that skill. But the way that I visualize this, because, it, again, it is such a crazy idea, is think about how that game last week in Sacramento, how that game ended, right? You circled Steph Curry's heave early in the shot clock, late in that game. What, they were down by 2 with a minute and a half left or whatever it was. A deep 3 from the left wing as like a pivot point this season. Like, that was Steph Curry saying, to hell with this offense, to hell with these, not to hell with these individual teammates, but to hell with the process that I'm running through right now. I'm just going to take a shot because I trust me from 30 plus feet more than I trust anybody else on offense. The offense is ugly at the end of games with Steph on the floor, and it's not Steph's fault. He's being doubled, he's being tripled, but no one else can do enough to take advantage. The offense is that rough when he's on the floor late in game. Same thing in Toronto the week prior. They lost to one of the worst teams in the NBA. Steph was available for that game. Again, this is not blaming Steph, but that's just like the basis of this point is that's what the offense looks like at times when Steph's on the floor. And you take those snapshots of the Warriors with Steph, and then you take Steph away, and you think in your mind, what does that team look like? There's no possible way it can be better, right? Like, that's ugly as hell. Some of the most ugly basketball that any team in the NBA is playing, and there are teams, multiple teams, actively trying to lose games. One of them was in Chase Center last night, and they were only down by 1 in the fourth quarter. You take Steph away from that, and it has to get worse, right? This year, the Warriors are 6-3 without Steph Curry. 6-3. That team that looks like that when he's on the floor at the end of games. And this isn't just a bunch of nobodies they're beating up on. They beat Houston twice without Steph. They've beat Memphis without Steph. They've beat, who else have they beat? Utah, New Orleans a couple of times. Not other crazy wins. But Houston is a really good team, and they beat them twice without Stephen Curry. It makes no sense. Because if the Warriors look like that with Steph, they should be like 10 times worse when he's not there. But they're 6-3, and they're 17-20 with him.
So there's the angle of those players you're talking about who play without Steph. And then I also think the reverse angle is, what about Steph with these players? That's the other side to it. And the analogy I thought of earlier, for those of you who know the movie Shawshank Redemption, is the character Brooks. And if you know the movie well, it doesn't end well for Brooks. But Brooks is the old guy. He's the old guy who was a lifer inside the prison. And then toward the end of the movie, he gets let out. And everyone's so excited about it for him. He's excited about it. Wow, he's a free man. And he gets out into the world, and he hasn't been out there for 60 years. And he looks around, and he's like, what the hell is this world?
Doesn't even recognize it.
I don't know this world.
Yeah.
Everybody's in a damn hurry. He couldn't keep up. Everything around him was just not making sense. And that, to me, is probably somewhat applicable to Steph Curry. I got to wonder if he looks around, and I think we've seen this at times with his frustration, where he's like, okay, this doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work the same way. You heard the names that Steiny just brought up. You just brought up David West and Sean Livingston and Barbosa. And we could go on and on and on. Even more recently, if you do want to talk about the years that Jordan Poole had, or the Otto Porters and role players like that, Steph is now coming down the court. There is so little respect for anything else happening on the court. The defense might as well send five people at him. He's exhausted, his knees hurt, and when he's finally able to get rid of the ball to someone else out there, they usually don't seem to know what to do with it, and usually end up just being like, hot potato, here, let me give it back to you. None of us can create anything out here. And so does this feel completely confusing to him? Does this feel foreign to him? And therefore, from both sides, Steph Curry and the people he's playing with right now, it's not a match. It's not a match. So Steph used to play better, not just because of his age, but because of everything that was happening around him, being stuff that actually was NBA-proven level stuff.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think I said this last year, or maybe even before that. I think if you place current day Steph, like today's Steph, 36, nearly 37-year-old Steph, and you placed him back like in 2015, Willard, like when he first won an MVP, Steph would be better. This version of Steph would be better than that like young pup 26-year-old Steph. Because what Steph has to do now to get a shot, like, think of how he's defended now versus how he was defended then. This isn't necessarily that Steph has fallen off a cliff and that he needs everyone else's support more. It's that he has to work so much harder than he ever has to get his looks. He would absolutely dominate 2015's NBA more so than he did in the first place, because he now knows how to beat everything a defense throws at him. 2015 was easy. No one was picking him up at half court. No one was double teaming him. He could get open looks just with a simple dribble move. Now he's got to run like half a mile from baseline to baseline and then up to the perimeter and then rack down to the corner, get a screen, and then cut back out just to get the ball with any kind of space. So this isn't Steph is no longer a good basketball player. This is just there's no longer that same kind of support system around him. And I think there's also a stylistic thing that the Warriors can adjust and can change to make it easier, because there's a pretty clear picture that the rest of the roster doesn't really thrive the way that Steph thrives in the system that they run.
Okay, so how would you all answer that question? Let's take your phone calls on that right now. 888-957-9570. What do the Warriors do well? 888-957-9570. You can answer it any way you want. What do the Warriors do well? We'll take your calls on that. And also, the knockout tournament, again, is on. 4 o'clock this afternoon is when you need to be listening. Every day on this station, 3 times a day. 8 a.m. hour, noon hour, 4 p.m. hour. Right now, that's all you need to know. Be here at 4 p.m. We will tell you the keyword, and then we will tell you what you need to do with that keyword and how you can win your way in to our knockout tournament at Chase Center. Play hoops with us on the Chase Center floor. We are also sponsored by the all-new Bay Street Emeryville. Grandy is in for dibs. This is Willard and Dibs. And hey, it's Willard for Underdog Fantasy. California sports fans, listen up, because I got some good news. Underdog is available to play here in our state, and it is the best app for your big game party, all actually being right there on your phone, and it is called Underdog and the Pick'em game, where you can win up to 1,000 times your money just by choosing higher or lower on a player's given stats. So you can look to the big game here in a week and a half. I would download the app right now if you haven't already and hop in on some NBA and NHL over the next week and a half to get yourself ready. It takes a little practice to start knowing how to break down these numbers like I'm trying to do tonight. I got a little NBA 2 pick. I'm looking at Scottie Barnes of the Toronto Raptors, higher than 30.5 points and rebounds. I'm also looking at Jalen Duren. He's a rebounder for the Pistons. He's been doing really well. I got him higher than 11.5 rebounds. And by the way, if I want to add a third pick on there, I can use the flex option so I can take an L and still win money. Okay, come do this with me. Underdog's the best place to play Pick'em. Download the app. Sign up with the promo code Willard and deposit now to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. The promo code is Willard. Got to be 18 or over, present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Oh. Just determined to get me aggregated, huh?
Yep. Yep.
You know what my Twitter feed will look like if I answer your questions?
On 95.7 The Game.
Oh, Momo.
This is that time of the year.
It damn right it is.
Twitter feeds get blown up.
Woo! I mean, Momo's even getting, she's being a little stubborn on returning my text, and I know why. Because the trade deadline's next week.
Yeah.
She knows.
I was listening to Steiny and Goo earlier today, and Steiny gave Momo a little bit of a shout-out because she put out the big piece on Jimmy Butler a week or two weeks ago.
It was a week ago.
Yeah, and I think in it, she wrote something along the lines of, Jimmy is just getting started.
Yep,
He's going to keep, you know, pushing Miami's buttons. He has, and he's since been suspended two more times.
Very good article.
So she was on it.
She was right.
Yeah.
And stay away from her, Steiny. That's our guest. Anyway, will you tell everybody what you just told me about the Warriors and trade ideas?
So Anthony Slater and Marcus Thompson would cover the Warriors for The Athletic. And, of course, Anthony Slater, you heard him earlier this morning with Bonte and Shasky on the Morning Roast, wrote a little Warriors trade deadline intel piece. And I haven't read the full thing yet, but based on what I've gotten to so far, this is the most interesting thing here. Quote, with Jonathan Kuminga considered essentially off the table for any deal involving Jimmy Butler or Zach LaVine, adding one of the premier wing players has gained some favor. And if such a deal is possible, the idea of LaVine joining their midst has prompted some intrigue among key stakeholders. The presumption is he'd be a better fit in said culture. End quote.
Okay. Just because you said that, I'd like to reiterate my my concern on Zach LaVine, and just so we're all clear here, and I don't even know what you're taking. We haven't talked a whole lot of Zach LaVine. I know Goo is all thumbs up, has been for a while. I don't have any problem with Zach. I have a problem with his contract. That's my issue there. And I don't understand how the Warriors can fit this. So here's what we're looking at if they were to acquire Zach LaVine. Because, yeah, he can score the bucket.
Yeah.
He's good. He can score. $43 million this year, because whatever, that's this year.
Yep.
But it's after that. Next year, $46 million, followed by a player option in 26-27 for $49 million.
He's probably opting into that player option.
You would think. So again, without being a capologist, and I'm not, Zach LaVine, if the whole idea is we're going to keep Zach LaVine and Jonathan Kaminga and Draymond and Steph, I mean, I presumably Wiggins would be in that deal.
Yes.
But how does that work?
I read a little bit further. Let me keep reading.
Okay.
Quote, LaVine is viewed by some within the organization as the safer option. That's over Butler. At 29, he's 5.5 years younger and some $6 million cheaper than Butler this season, though his contract extends longer and he's had some recent health concerns. But there is some understanding and alignment from all levels of the Warriors organization that they lack a true second scorer next to Curry, and LaVine's explosive three-level scoring ability would fill the roster's largest void.
Oh.
I think that I agree with. The clear difference between Butler and LaVine is, one, what I said there in terms of age and the contract, which is different. LaVine is a more seamless fit into what the Warriors need, no doubt about it.
Completely. If this was all in a vacuum, if these were basketball cards, I'll take Zach LaVine. But I don't know about this contract. It lines up with Steph.
It does.
So, okay. But that I've always been a hard no on anything related to Zach LaVine, and it's never been about his X's and O's. It's about his dollars and cents. And that's how I've always felt. Now, if they've got some magic way to make that all work, I'm listening. Can they get both? Can they get LaVine and Vucevic?
Oh, I thought you meant LaVine and Butler. Like, no way. LaVine and Vucevic.
I'm gonna trade machine that sucker here at 3 o'clock.
There's probably a way, but it might deplete your entire roster.
Zach is $43 million and Nicole is another 20. So you gotta get to 63.
Yes.
Starting with Wiggins and his 26. That gets you less than half the way there. Moses Moody would, because his number doesn't go up till next year. All right, I'm gonna see if I can play with that.
Okay. The
idea is that it would not be Kaminga, right?
The idea is what it seems like you would do that deal and not
give up Jonathan Kaminga. Okay, go ahead. What were you gonna say?
From what Slater and Thompson are saying, if Jonathan Kaminga is deemed as untouchable in these trades, first of all, I would like to know why, because there is the aspect of maybe what Guru is talking about, and if you missed the crossover, Guru was very, very high on Kaminga's future and views him as a perennial all-star, like post-Stephen Curry, and as a player that can lead the franchise. I don't know if the Warriors feel that way about him, but if they do, great. That might be part of the reason why they view him as untouchable. I think what's more likely, Willard, is they view him as untouchable because if they were to trade him now, they are selling at the lowest possible point of this asset. Like you are losing the trade if you trade away Jonathan Kaminga because he's worth more than he's making currently, but you have to trade him at what he's currently making, and because the Warriors are so hard up against the cap, you can't take more money in. So you have to trade away Kaminga and get someone back of the same monetary value who very likely would be less real basketball player value. So maybe that's the reason why he's untouchable. And I say all that to bring up this idea, Willard, and something that you brought up yesterday in terms of Jimmy Butler. If the acquisition of Jimmy Butler or Zach LaVine hinders your ability to keep Kaminga around long-term, and if you want him around long-term, then why the hell would you do it? But maybe the Warriors aren't set on Kaminga as a long-term guy, therefore they're willing to potentially say goodbye to his future with this organization in favor of 2.5 more years of Zach LaVine. But maybe they feel like there's room for both.
Well, I would, like, again, we probably, this gets super complex.
Hard to do on radio.
Yeah, you run into the money thing, you run into the number of player things. I know that they just brought in a player on their two-way deal.
Jackson Rowe.
I'm sure none of you heard about that. If you did, congrats, you're a really good Warrior fan, you're tapped in. I did notice that, and I go, are they positioning themselves just to like
just to have him, a body
to have a body yes just to have a body to put into a roster spot. I started playing with something right away. Wiggins, Schroeder, Payton, Hield, and Moody for LaVine and Vucevic. That both adds up to like $63 million. I mean, honestly, it's within $15,000 of each other.
Sorry, so it's Wiggins, Hield,
Moody, Peyton, Schroeder.
Moody, Peyton, Schroeder.
For LaVine and Vucevic. And the trade failed. They told me I needed to trim $3,000.
Mm.
So back to the drawing board.
I mean, if you're that close, something will work.
Something will work.
There'll be a third team, a fourth team, whatever.
Yes.
So it is possible.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So that leaves you with Steph and Draymond and these two acquisitions and Kuminga and Pajemski, and you still get to keep some experience down low with Looney and Anderson and TJD, and you still have these two new big guys you're interested in Post and Santos.
If they're acquiring Vucevic, I would imagine Looney's probably on the way out.
Well, maybe that's actually the swap that I need to make.
I don't know what the purpose of having Looney and TJD and Vucevic and Quentin Post. Like, they already have too
many.
Well,
right. And then we have to stop and think about what does Chicago want? Hield and Moody are not expiring. They both got a number of years left on their deal, and Moody's is about to escalate threefold.
But as you and Dibs talked to Adam Amin, voice of the Bulls, about last week, who the hell knows what the Bulls want?
They're an odd team.
No one knows. Maybe the Bulls don't even know what they want.
I heard Keith Smith on with Steiny and Goose say that he thinks Vucevic is probable as far as being on the move. Probable. So, anyway.
He's not an expiring. He's not even an expiring deal.
No, neither of them are.
Yeah.
Yeah, neither of them are. So the whole thing is, it's mysterious for sure. 888-957-9570. As a way to get to all pieces of Warrior conversation, though, the question we're asking is, what do they do well?
It's a great question.
And again, your answer is?
Oh, they rebound well.
Okay.
I had to really search for something, though.
Yeah, I promised Uncle Looney on YouTube that I'd pass along his answer. I have to find it again. And he said, "Yo, Willard, I think we play pretty good defense and we're a good passing team."
Top half of the league in defense.
They were a good defensive team. I think
they're still all right.
They're okay, and they show flashes. I think in the first 15 games of the year, they were fantastic. They were fantastic.
I mean, they were top five offense and defense.
Yes.
For the first month.
You know, and Steve Kerr, remember, at the beginning of the year, he was like, that's what we want. Like, we want to be known as a scrappy, hardworking defensive team. And then the year started, and I'm like, yo, you did it.
You nailed it,
remember,
Steve.
Jerry Stackhouse was getting all that credit for crushing it? And then it kind of just,
The offense has been the bigger problem than defense.
For sure.
But the defense has also kind of fallen off the cliff.
It's just kind of like there.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine. It's not offensive. Anyway, 888-957-9570, the number. Philmo Mike is on the line. Philmo!
Yo, yo!
What is happening?
You know, I love you, Willard, but...
Uh-oh.
I got to correct you.
This is like three calls in a row that you've started that way, Philmo.
I know, huh?
I know. Thank you. No, man. You can call up and take me down and disagree. That's what we're doing here. It's all good.
Oh, man, Willie. I rock with you, Willie. I like I said all the time, man, it took me a while to get to, I love you now. Like, I literally love you. Not like I love you as I know you, but I have a lot of love for you.
Hey.
So let me correct you on some things.
Let's go.
You asked two questions. You said, what do the Warriors do good, right?
Yep.
The Warriors don't know what the hell they do good, right? So with that being said, of course they won't realize. They don't realize what they have in Kuminga. They don't know where to put Kuminga at, identify him as. Is he a one? Is he a two? Is he this or is he that or the third? So that's all I'm trying to point out to you. The Warriors don't know. They don't do a lot of things good, a lot of things well. I know this, though. I've been watching the Warriors for 30 years, since Chris Webber went behind the bat on dunked on Charles Barkley. That's when I fell in love with the Warriors. The Warriors, whenever you lead the league in rebounds, guess what? Shout out to Donald Foyle. You're not a good shooting team. So when you lead the league in rebounds, all that means is that you're doing a lot of breaking. You feel me? So what we have to get back to is making the open shot. Willard, now I can agree with you on this. You said this last week. the Lakers, when we played the Lakers, they made less threes than us, but they made all their open threes. I don't know what the hell is going on, but we just be missing open ass three pointers. Like it's like everybody's like we're supposed to. Like we're not in the NBA. Like we're in college. I don't know what's going on, but I think that's. I can't say like, man, make the shot because I play basketball. Sometimes you just miss. But man, for 3 months we just been bricking. No wonder we leading the league in rebounds. We're bricking so much.
It's a good, but Philmo, it's a funny point and a good one. They're not a great 3-point shooting team. You know what I mean? Like, do you know the difference, Philmo? You'll get this. There's a difference between a 3-point shooter and someone who can shoot a three. Those are two different things. And the Warriors have a bunch of people who can shoot a three. Andrew Wiggins can shoot a three. Dennis Schroeder can shoot a three. But I look around the NBA and I see teams surrounding the 3-point arc. You've got the best player with the ball in his hand and you're surrounded by 3-point shooters. Like people who knock it down. The Warriors don't have enough.
I totally agree. I don't know what they got to do. Buddy Hill be missing wide open threes, Willard. He be missing wide. I was like, bro, nobody's there. And it go in and out. It's a nice tease. It go in and out around the thing, and it just pop out. But man, I don't know what's going on, man. I agree with you, Willard.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying I agree with you when you and Grandy, when y'all was like, when Kerr was like, man, we got a scrappy team. Like, I was like, man, we do got a scrappy. Like, I like this. And then they just start bricking.
Philmo, thank you for calling, man. You're welcome anytime. Yeah.
You want to know it?
Maybe that should be Buddy Buckets instead of that nickname because that doesn't seem to fit anymore. Maybe we just call him old In and Out. My kids would like it. They ask me for it twice a week.
Some of them are going In and Out. Some of them are also just breaking.
Just missing.
Entirely.
Yeah. Could I take 10 seconds to apologize to the adorable Sacramento Kings fans?
Do it.
Yeah, because like 15 games into the year, and Evan is sitting here getting ready for Warriors Live later, and he knows this because I fell into the trap so much that I bet him a drink that Buddy Hield was going to average more points for this team than Jonathan Kuminga would.
Yeah, I remember when you came in here. I was like, why do you guys hate Buddy Hield?
Yeah, I was like, hey, Kings fans, y'all are just mad. Like, what is it that you do not like about this guy?
He's great.
I would like to now say, oh.
I see.
I get it now. Yeah. I get it now. Yeah. And by the way, I don't now dislike Buddy Hield. I would still put myself on one side of the fence. What's that meme y'all sent me earlier got sent out on Twitter because Draymond was standing next to Buddy Hield, kind of like looking like he was like facing him, and the caption was, do it, Draymond. Warriors fans want you to do it, as in we would love for you to punch Buddy Hield. I don't want Buddy Hield punched.
Of course not.
No, but I'm not mad at Buddy Hield. I hear a lot of that.
It's a frustrating experience right now.
But I get it.
Yes.
I get it. I get where you're like, oh, man, you do things on the court sometimes that are hard to watch. And yes, maddeningly inconsistent considering where he sits, like in the history of the game.
He's one of the best 3-point shooters ever.
Ever. In terms of volume, at least.
And percentage is up there, too. Honestly, as a career, he's barely under 40% as a career.
Dude, you really do make me, like, he's kind of one of them, like, palm to forehead guys, like, 2-3 times a night.
Yep.
Anyway, go ahead. I figured out a trade that was successful, but say your thing.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You and Philmo both brought up what Steve Kerr told you and Dibs before the season, which was we want to be a scrappy team, right?
Yes.
When we were winning championships, it was always on the backs of our defense. Everyone, you know, thinks about the offense and all the threes, but it really was the defense was our backbone. And then I don't know if it was in the same answer or you guys asked him a follow-up question, but he then later on went to say, well, I think we're going to be a 3-point shooting team, and we're going to get out and run. We're going to be a fast break team, and we're going to be a 3-point shooting team. Those might be the best ways for the Warriors to score because, as we know, they can't score in the paint for whatever reason. Even when they get in the paint, they miss them. The Warriors are also just a league-average three-point shooting team, and they're one of the worst teams turning transition opportunities into points. So, like, what they identified as their best ways to score, not good.
Nope. He also said they're a 50-win team. And maybe they still are.
They'd have to on a heater here.
I doubt it. Yeah, I guess a 50-win team could only lose 9 more games, right? Is that right? Do I have that math right?
50 and 32 in year 20, yeah.
Yeah, they could only lose 9 more games the rest of this year.
Yeah.
I'll take the over on that, but anyway.
So they identified their strengths, or what they wanted to be their strengths, and they've been at best mediocre across the league at one of them and very bad in the other.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Now, it's not like, okay, stop shooting threes, go inside, because they're even worse inside than they are outside.
Well, and what would I do to a Warrior who got position on me inside? Foul him. We're going to miss the free throws. They've gotten better.
You know, quietly, Wiggins, career high, 80% from the line this year?
I don't think that quietly. I've really noticed. It is one of probably two or three keys as to why he is, and I'm going to use air quotes, having a, quote, good year. It's still not like the year y'all want Andrew to have, but when put through the context of what's happened the last three seasons, Andrew's having a good year.
The running joke among my friends when Wiggins went to the free throw line prior to this year was, he'll split.
Yep.
He'll make one, he'll miss one. Guaranteed.
And by the way, a bunch of people in Vegas noticed that he split his free throws at the end of the game last night.
You were one of them that noticed.
No, not me. Well, yes, I got hit because the Warriors won by 11 after 5 missed three-pointers there in the last 30 seconds. But no, I wasn't thinking. I guess Wiggins' line, I think, was 20.5.
And scored, so it impacted his
and
line.
And he scored 20.
And the spread that you bet on.
Yes, yes, everything.
It's too bad.
Thanks, Andrew. That's why I'm trading you to Chicago. I just found the deal. Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
Would you like to hear the deal? The deal that would land Zach LaVine and Nikola Vucevic on the Warriors.
We're really dreaming here,
I've got
we?
A big green square that says this trade is successful, and it saves the Warriors over $2 million that you could go use to fill the roster spots.
Wow.
Want to hear it?
Sure.
I bet you do. Warriors Wednesday is brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. We're also brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. 888-957-9570. We are asking you right now, what do the Warriors do well? And you can answer any way you want. And I will share my successful trade with you coming up next on Willard and Dibbs.